The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 3 degrees at the Loyola campus of Concordia University. I'm Jason Brian Jean-Baptiste. Here are today's headlines. We found out which Canadian is going to the moon, a call for new restrictions on Airbnb, and Quebec puts million into improving immigration. People are going back to the moon, and a Canadian is going to be one of them. This is the first time since 1972. Ravina Sangantyuk joins us live from the Canadian Space Agency. Ravina, the event just started. Who are they sending to the moon?
They should announce any minute now who will be sending. All we know so far is that there will be 6 astronauts. They're broadcasting it live right now in Houston.
How involved is Canada in the return to the moon?
Canada is officially announcing their new project with the Artemis project to explore the moon. They're including a new robotic system as well as a Canadian rover designed specifically for the moon. The Artemis program is allowing us to explore further into space, which we have not explored before.
How different will this project be from the others?
Well, since we know this is the first crewed mission to the moon since 1972, with this trip, a range of opportunities with these new equipments, they are able to maintain and capture visiting vehicles. It would also allow and help astronauts during spacewalks and enable science on the surface of the moon. It would also allow scientists to control these machines in real time.
Thank you, Ravina. Police are investigating a stabbing incident that happened Sunday night near Atwater Metro. The authorities were alerted about an injured middle-aged man at the corner of the Maisonneuve Boulevard. When police arrived, the man was unconscious and had been stabbed several times in his upper body. The victim was brought into the hospital and his condition is currently stable. However, the events leading up to the stabbing are still unknown and no arrest has been made yet. This weekend, bodies were found at Saint-Julien by members of La Sûreté du Québec. A 46-year-old man's body was located inside a residence by police last Friday during the evening. The next day, police discovered the body of a 48-year-old woman on the private land surrounding the residence. Officers have determined that the two victims knew each other, but the details leading up to those two deaths are unknown. La Sûreté du Québec launched an investigation, and there are no updates on the matter currently. The housing crisis in Montreal keeps on getting worse, with many housing units across Montreal being used as Airbnb and other tourist accommodations. Victor Schaefer tells us about new potential restrictions in the city East End.
The Mercier-Hochelaga Maisonneuve borough recently put forth a motion that would heavily restrict the use of Airbnbs across the borough. This motion gave birth to a lot of worries from Airbnb hosts, worry about a potential loss of income. Political attaché Victor Wang Sinbash responded to those worries. Airbnbs and the sharing economy must be used to reimburse your vacation when you're not there a week or two when you're traveling. The city of Montreal has already started making demands regarding the Airbnb crisis in Montreal. Jimmy Zubri is the special advisor to the mayor on business affairs. He says they are cautiously optimistic that the situation will improve.
I think we're happy initially. Now we have to see it in practice because some people are trying to go around the system.
However, representative of housing group Frappru, Catherine Mercier, is adamant in saying that a total ban of Airbnbs is what would be needed to answer to the housing crisis.
Prohibit the uses of this platform in any cases.
Victor Schaefer, Concordia News.
A man was arrested last night in Quebec City after threatening to bomb his apartment building. Police received several threatening calls from this individual, who barricaded himself inside his own apartment. Beauport residents near the area were evacuated safely. According to officers from La Sûreté du Québec and witnesses, the 47-year-old had a mental health crisis. No explosive engines were found inside the apartment. Quebecers are putting off retirement due to financial insecurity. A recent study by the H&R Block has discovered that over a third of all Quebecers are not confident in their abilities to retire. Luca March is with us in studio to break down the story for us. So Luca, how is putting off retirement impacting the lives of seniors in the province?
Well, we're seeing more and more seniors putting off retirement in the coming years. However, the vast majority of Quebecers will still be able to retire they're just going to have to compromise on the lifestyles and activities they were planning on doing. Many will need to downsize or reduce unnecessary expenses during their retirements.
What are some of the potential impacts of this trend in the long term?
Well, according to the data collected by the H&R Block, seniors in the province have already begun to engage in a pseudo-retirement system, where they either transition to less strenuous work or they cut back on the amount of hours they're working. We've already seen the provincial government push back the retirement age to 65 last month. So we should expect to see more of these sorts of policy changes to continue in order to combat these trends. But despite these measures, Sherry McLeod, executive director of the senior advocates group Evermontant, says this issue is only set to rise in the coming years.
I think there's going to be always a slightly larger percentage each year now of people over the age of 60 or even 65 who are staying in the workforce, you know, the financial insecurity.
What is causing these rising trends and financial instability among seniors?
Well, there are many circumstances which are impacting these trends. We saw the 2008 financial recession and the 2020 COVID-19 pandemic impact the ability for seniors to save during their highest earning periods of their lives. However, McLeod further says that a lack of support from government programs is further harming seniors in the province.
It's not exactly encouraging. You know, for many years, people would get like 98 cents increase a month or a dollar or 2 cents a month. I mean.
Thank you, Luca. In light of Refugee Rights Day, over 20 community organizations will be gathering tomorrow to bring awareness to the asylum crisis. They'll be demanding a concrete hospitality policy from all levels of the government. The groups are also asking them to respect asylum seekers' rights. Ines Riffis spoke to Catherine Papa, General Director of the Community Development Corporation in Côte des Neiges, to gain insight on the asylum situation in Quebec, and she says the province should do more.
In the last year, we welcomed in Quebec about 44,000 asylum seekers, which is not so much if you compare it, or very, very little, actually, if you compare it on a global scale. You have refugees and migrant communities in all over the world in much bigger numbers. So we should have, and we do have, the capacity as a society to give a better welcome.
What message are you hoping to get across tomorrow?
That we should be providing a welcome, but a welcome with dignity. We should keep our borders open for asylum seekers. We should be able to provide as a society a dignified welcome to asylum seekers.
But do you feel like you've been heard and that you're going to be listened to, or do you feel like this is going to be maybe another talking to the wall situation?
Well, we thought we were being heard at the end of January, and the reaction was closing the borders. So I hope that we'll be heard, and I hope that this will be taken further, not only to governments and media, but that the population will also play a role in bringing in more awareness and bringing in more pressure.
Is there anything we can learn from other provinces or other countries when it comes to their approach to welcoming asylum seekers?
In the so-called developed world or in the richer countries, I'm not sure that the models are right now very positive. And I think Canada can become a model. I mean, we have the capacity.
That was Ines Riffé talking to Catherine Papas, the General Director of Côte des Neiges Community Development Corporation. Tomorrow is International Invisible Work Day, and for the occasion, hundreds of teachers will protest in Quebec City. Their union wants to raise awareness on the issue, claiming all their peripheral tasks make their work condition very difficult. Olivier Paiement has the story for us.
Invisible work occurs when an employee must perform extra chores that are not recognized or paid by its employer. Josiane Grégoire-Lenin, president at Quebec's Association of Education and Social Work for Women, believes it's rooted in the province's culture. It's very cultural and it's part of our life habits. But for sure, it's starting to change, though. Françoise Bourdieu, a teacher that recently retired from a school that follows France's curriculum, believes it's Quebec's public education that is to blame for the extra work. We're not like Quebec's public system. We don't have any pedagogical days where we have to put in extra work. We can do that on our own terms. Still, Grégoire Lenin calls for action from the government. We need to meet our elected officials and educate them on invisible work. It's an issue that affects the whole population, not just teachers. We can all be stuck in it. Olivier Paiement for Concordia News.
The Blue Jays lose against the Cardinals, Chris Letang is honored, and the Tigers win the biggest national female championship of the year. Selma Ferjiwi has all our sport news.
That ball locks high in the air, right center field. That baby's belted! That baby is long gone!
The Toronto Blue Jays are off to a bad start with a 4-1 loss against the Red Cardinals from St. Louis. The season is expected to be a hard one for the Jays. Only time will tell if they'll be able to come back from their defeat. Professional hockey player Chris Letang was honored yesterday by his team, the Penguins of Pittsburgh, on the occasion of his 1,000th game with the team.
Letang is playing in his 1,000th career NHL game, becoming just the 68th NHL player to play all 1,000 games with the same team. Joining teammate Sidney Crosby.
LSU wins the 2023 NCAA Women's Basketball National Championship. It's their first time winning in the program's history. The Tigers beat Iowa with a score of 102-85.
Thank you, Selma. And we're going back to Ravina Sagantyuk at the Canadian Space Center.
Hi, so they had just announced a couple names that are going currently. I do have Christina H. Koch, Jeremy H. Henson, who is a Canadian, Victor Glover, and they just announced Reed Wiseman.
Thank you, Ravina. Yesterday, a homeless man filed a lawsuit against the City of Montreal and its police force. Guylain Levasseur alleges that he was targeted by police and ticketed over 200 times while living in his camping van and providing clothes, food, and shelter to him. To other homeless people. The alleged tickets were issued between 2015 and 2019 by police and parking agents. Levasseur says that the authorities threatened his well-being and personally targeted him during the last 4 years. This week, temperatures will remain above zero for most of the week, hitting a high of 11 degrees for Sunday. You can expect rain and clouds this Wednesday and Thursday. Overall, this week is expected to be sunny and warm, especially during this upcoming weekend. This is a great opportunity to go outside and enjoy the weather. That's your news to 11:30. Thanks for listening. For Concordia News, I'm Jason Brian Jean-Baptiste.